This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We go to check. He's like, what's the name under? I was like, Taylor, or gave the other last name. Oh, okay. Come on, guys. Let's go have a drink. And you walk over to this area. You do a little knock, knock. Secret door opens, yeah. And you're taken back into the lounge. And we're living it up. Like we're loving this, the whole presentation. He leads us over to the place, and I see two seats and a card that's like a birthday card. Uh-huh. And I'm like, uh-oh. I think we just took their reservation. I don't think she made the reservation for four.
Can't even get in now.
And we're like looking at each other like, oh, no. So I don't sit down, and I immediately go to turn, and the guy comes walking back, and he goes, hey, yeah, what were the last four digits of the number? And I give him the number. I was like, I think there's been a misunderstanding. And he goes, yeah, you guys need to leave. I was like, okay.
All right, bro.
I was like, okay. I was like, you're right. Let me explain what happened. We thought the reservation was for four. I don't think she changed it. It's only for two. He was like, yeah, come on. We need to go. It's like, okay. Can you just tell the when they get here, they didn't update the reservation. We were here. Uh-huh. We're sorry, but we had to leave. And then the guy immediately goes, you know what, man? I'm sorry. I think we could get you a table for four right here. Come here. So we walk back out, and my man is right there. And it's a surprise. He doesn't know we're there.
Yeah.
So we're like hugging, and we're like, hey, I don't think we're going to be able to go in. They have a reservation for you guys. And his friend goes, yeah, I tried to update. I don't know if it updated. And we go, it didn't. So the guy comes back to me, and God bless him. He's like, hey, man, I'm really sorry about that. It's been a rough night. We got a great spot for you. And he takes us back in. He sits us down for four. And, you know, they serve up all these drinks for Isle's birthday. And it was a blast.
That's what's up.
Oysters
and
box chicken. He really did. I was like, okay. And I couldn't get mad because he was right. Like, we literally just jacked the reservation. But I'm just
No, there's a way to talk to customers, yeah, though. No, people don't be talking to me because you had a bad night. That's not my problem.
But he didn't know. So I was like, hey, it's cool. I did think it was funny that we knew the name and the phone number,
right.
But he didn't quite compute that we were all together.
Right, what you think it just randomly said so I was like, Taylor, hey, and took the reservation?
It's good. It's all good, man. We're sorry about that. But we wound up having a great night, which resulted in a very long drive back to Rockland, walking in, and the clock going from 1:59 to 3.
I'm sure it was well worth it.
Oh, it was a blast.
Roost is pretty cool.
Roost
I've been
is
there
fire.
One time.
Yeah,
their
Roost
drinks
is fire.
Are strong. Sneaky strong.
Yeah.
I'm thinking I'm just having, like, this orange juice I'm having right here. I get up, and I'm like, oh, okay. We want to go to the pizza place across the street. Real quick.
No, well, not me. I was like, can we bring out more fried chicken? because I don't know what was in that, but it hit a lot harder than I expected.
I'm telling you. I want to go to Bach, though. I've never been to Bach.
Well, that's the first food they served in there.
Mm.
Yeah, it was lovely.
I want to check.
Absolutely lovely. Shout out to Bach. Shout out to the Roost. And shout out to my brother who
who's
ready to jazz us out the Uncle Phil us right out the door. The worst part is we didn't really know what it was. So like we get there and it's like, okay, there's Bach. The place is called the Roost. It has to be in here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like walking in and kind of looking around. She's like, it's here. Hmm. Like, okay, you can't see it.
Yeah.
It's hidden. And so, yeah, that was a whole other ordeal before we're like, I think we just have to go talk to that guy and he leads us to some sort of secret room. And that's exactly what happened.
That's a Damien-like place because, like, you got to walk through the kitchen and everything. That's,
yeah, you telling me I got to go talk to this person down the kitchen? No, I'm going home. I'm not doing all that.
No, that's a shoot. Not only that, but you knock on the left door, and then the wall opens.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Katie was so... This is great! This is amazing! That was awesome. You had a good time.
I like that. I like that.
Good time. Good time.
Shout out, Ruth. But yeah, I was like, I'm out here at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Man. I was at the crib by midnight.
Well, tell Jazz sorry about that.
That Vegas trip, man, really changed you.
Did.
Ever since
then. You know what it is? No, it's Io. Like, I don't, like, the last two times that I've been out in the middle of the night, it's been because of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
See, but I feel like even before, it's like,
it's good influence.
You were getting home at like 9:30, 9 o'clock. Now you're getting home at like 11. If you're with Io, maybe it's 1, but now it's just later. You see what I'm saying, Casey?
Yeah. And he keeps going to these rich spots.
That's true, yeah. You keep going to these places where it's like you got to knock here and there and password there.
It's different, you know. And you know, my man's, I don't think he has a problem with crowds, but he's not like crazy about crowds. He goes to these places where you don't have to deal with crowds because it's so exclusive and so private. Hey, I'll stay here as long as I need to.
Meanwhile, me and Casey are fighting for a drink.
Shoulder to shoulder. Yeah. Hey.
Oh, me and KC.
Yeah.
So KC, a regular dude now.
Been a regular dude.
At this point, yeah, right now, yeah. Me and Casey out there at the bars just trying to fit in and stuff like that. Yeah, meanwhile, you're playing password with the bars and all that.
I've never done that before. It was kind of dope. Like, I've seen TikTok videos about, like, hey, there's a secret place at Caesars. There's a secret place in, like, the, you know, the Bellagio, all of these different spots. It's like, oh, I'm gonna take a mental note of that. That's kind of cool. Yeah. And it just so happens, like, we were invited out to that spot. I didn't know what it was, and it was one of them little secret spots.
It's
kind of dope when the door opens and there's a whole other, you know, like, bar back there. Yeah. It was fire.
No, it's official. Same as you. I see this stuff all the time. And one time, me and Jazz were just out. And let's try that Roost. Let's see if it really works. And sure enough, like, we got back there and had a couple drinks, and vibes was immaculate.
And it was incredible.
Yeah.
Shout out to the speakeasies.
There was another.
Shout out to my brother who threw us out
and
then brought us back.
I think that was the premise. I might be mixing it up, but the premise of that $100 burger that inspired Nipsey Hussle's $100 mixtape. I think the $100 burger was not on the menu. And I don't know if it was as much as like going into a different part of the restaurant, but you had to know about it to get the $100 burger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made that so popular. And then Nipsey used that $100 concept for
the mixtape.
For Crenshaw. Yeah.
That's dope, man.
Yeah.
That's dope. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take Devin Carter to the Roost.
Well, he deserves it.
He does.
He deserves it.
I love the way he played yesterday. I thought he played really well in both games. I might look at Friday's game a little bit differently.
Well, Friday he did play really well.
Maybe well.
No, he played well. I only say that because he did play well, but it took a Stephon Castle dunk to kind of get Devin Carter going. Because I remember I was with some people, and Stephon Castle had a nice little dunk. We was like, oh, look at our rookie. And then, like, immediately after that, like, after I said that, he gets a little dunk, he hits a three, does a couple things. I was like, all right, Devin, all right. So, yeah, he played well on Friday, but he followed it up with another good performance like you talk about on Sunday against the Clippers. He's playable now. you can put him in the game for 6 minutes at a time.
He looked like a guy who could do a lot of different things. I felt like he busted his ass yesterday, and I've never questioned his effort. Might have questioned his ability, but I never questioned his effort. And it's just now that it feels like maybe there are some things coming together for him. And I actually loved his minutes yesterday.
He did really well.
I loved his minutes yesterday. And we've been pretty hard on Devin Carter and the front office, but you know, I think you can continue to have those conversations about Devin Carter in the front office's decision to select him. But he is starting to show signs of a guy that you can play in a meaningful play-in game or a meaningful playoff game or a game that you have to win. He's a guy that you feel like you can go to and get minutes from, whereas 3 weeks ago you couldn't do that.
And you said it perfectly. He does a lot of different things on the floor. He's defending. He rebounds well for a guard. When he has time to shoot, the shot seems like it might be accurate, even though it's a little slow and, you know, it's a little awkward sometimes. When we were talking about Bill Raftery earlier, when he gets those puppies set, you know what I'm saying? It's a good shot when he's able to do that. And you can see what others see in him. And I think in theory, we all saw it. We were like, I don't know if that's enough right now, because he can't get to the things that he does well. Like, the game's moving too fast. It looks like he's out of shape, and understandably so. He's trying to get there. Like, all the things that he does well, I don't know if he can get there this year. And they did a good job with having him take a little bit of a step back, be in the G League, get his legs under him a little bit, and easing him back into to gameplay. And in these last two games, he showed up and played well. So that's really good to see, man. Like, you want to see a guy like Devin Carter, who had a tough entrance into the NBA with the surgery, having to be thrown into the mix with the team and expected to perform at a high level, and not being able to do that right away. You want to see that guy be able to bounce back and get his legs under him at some point this year and show some promise, and that's what he's done.
And all of that pressure was magnified by the fact the team wasn't playing well.
Right.
You know, if you get off to a better start, maybe the runway, so to speak, for Devin is a little bit different. Maybe the trip to Stockton happens a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Devin debuted with Doug, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Like, things going well, maybe you're debuting in the G League versus debuting with the main squad and Doug and this, oh, God, what did we do? Mm-hmm. Sending them to the G League, give them a chance to get minutes, practice time, comfortable, and then bringing them back, like, okay, now we got something.
Yeah.
You know, you might have been able to approach that a little bit differently if you started well. That's not Devin's fault, but that was just the unfortunate story of the season.
Well, this poor guy, to be fair, he didn't get a summer league or a training camp.
Right.
He got nothing. Mm-hmm. And he played two G League games and was like, all right, kid, we're trying to get out of the ninth spot. Get in there. Whoa. It's a lot. And that's a lot for a guy. Like, when I think of Devin Carter, I still look at him, and he's got a lot to work on. So who he might end up being isn't who he is today, but like, just asking him with no summer league, no training camp, and I got a lot to work on in my game just in general, go out there and perform, it was asking a lot. And we said that at the time too. Like, it was asking a lot to expect anything from him. And what we were just kind of hoping is that he would go out there and not take anything off the table. And he wasn't able to do that early on, but sending him to the G League, letting him get his legs under him, get a feel for professional basketball at that point, seems to have done him some good, man, because he's come back to the Kings
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And these two games, at the very least, he looks like I said, a guy that you can go out there and pay. Nurse can be playing 6 minutes a night. Yeah. 6 minutes a half, excuse me.
Let's step out, come back, because we should talk a little bit about Friday's game. The game happened. De'Aaron returned. The reaction was there. I actually loved the reactions for multiple different reasons. So we'll talk about that and hopefully be able to put that behind us moving forward. So we'll talk more Kings basketball. We are going to get into the NFL. We're going to spend some time in the NFL. The Raiders made some move on Friday right after our show has ended. What does the acquisition of Geno Smith mean for what they want to do in the draft? Also, Josh Allen, big money. Miles Garrett, big money and a no trade clause with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And Max Crosby, all of that ahead here. That's not even, none of that even happened today. That's all stuff that happened over the weekend.
Right.
So we've got all that ahead. Thanks for being with us. It's Dealing with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Hey, what the hell? Donovan talking about paradise is good. Thanks for the
I have no problem, Donovan. I got you guys back. What? Shout out to the chatty house.
That was me.
Really, KC?
It was you?
Yes. I told Jesse about it.
Wow. I'm here for the people. I'm the people's producer. So, Donovan, you got it, pal.
I saw, where was this one up here? I got introduced to this a week or so ago.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, that's good. That's
everyone
good.
Says that was great. I haven't gotten into it yet.
It's interesting. It's very good. You got to pay attention.
Okay.
Don't zone out.
Okay.
Like, okay, what's going on here?
I zoned out of the first episode of Raising Kanan.
So did I.
They were laying the groundwork.
Yeah,
I don't know if they needed to.
I'm gonna need to rewatch it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to watch it again.
Well, I won't. I know enough.
I'm still like unclear. So Joey just crawled out of the dirt?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that, so it's funny you say that. That one, all right, it's like, all right, man, this is wild. He was able to do that, get to a payphone in the middle of nowhere. Somebody knew where he was at in the middle of nowhere, came and got him, and they just brought him back to health. All right, man. But I try not to do that. I'm like, it's a TV show. It's okay. It doesn't have to be like super. On top of that, it's like a dramatic TV show. So it's okay. But I was sitting there like, all right, man.
You mentioned that. It's always funny when people are like, oh, well, this superhero show, this wasn't very realistic. Dude, there's superheroes like in space. What are you, what are you talking about?
And I try not to do that. I'm just like, all right, man, it's cool. It's cool. Like, all right. But yeah, I zoned in and out of that episode. Hey, real quick, before we go any further. Come on, man. Can we get some air horse?
Oh, yeah. That's
can we get some air horse? Can we get some air horse?
Hey, come we'll on, actually man. Hit him again.
Come on, man. Let's go. Let's go. ACC champs. Let's go.
Man.
Let's go.
That was pretty awesome.
That was really cool to see.
And that was pretty dope.
It was one of those things where I had, Reese had some basketball stuff on Sunday morning. So I like stayed away from everything and wanted to watch all the tournament championship games. Mm-hmm. And that was the first one. I went back, watched that, and to make it feasible, I just like sped through, you know, did the Kim do it, skimmed through it in the first half. And I saw the score. I was like, damn, oh man. So I started watching that. Started the second half and they just went off.
Yeah.
They went off.
Yeah.
Man, that was good to see. Did you get a phone call?
No.
That's the best part of this stuff.
No, I sent it's just the most indicative thing of like 15 years of knowing this woman. Had they lost, would have heard about it for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
But they won.
Text. Congratulations. You got so-and-so liked your text.
Liked it.
Well, that's not terribly far off. I did get
a
response.
You got to emphasize?
No, I did get a response. But it was, congratulations, very proud of you. Thank you. And then her traditional emojis, which are the blue heart and then the devil, the purple devil.
Sometimes I feel like when you throw an emphasis, you're like, really, oh, that's like pretty cool. It's like, whoop-dee-dee-doo, pal. Like, great. Yeah.
All right, pal.
But no, that was really cool.
That was amazing. Her first ACC championship, man. That's
that was dope.
Just awesome. And absolutely
that,
awesome.
And there's two things that I thought about when watching that. One of them is, one of the things that I really like about college sports still, especially like you get it in basketball, is winning the conference really matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really, you saw those girls crying out there and everything. And that's how it is. Like, you win your conference, whether it's regular season or postseason, it really matters. Like, you can have aspirations of winning a national championship or getting to a Final Four. But I don't want to say, like, for any program in America, like, that's far-fetched. I don't want to say it like that, but it's like, That's so out of your control sometimes. It's on another level. But you, like, say, like, we are practicing every day to win the conference. Like, that is unbelievably important. And you saw it on those young ladies' face. They were so happy to win that. And then the other thing I thought about was, with Coach K, is winning more elation or being relieved? I can tell
it's relief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and has it always been that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the gold medal in 2008 was elation. Mm-hmm. I can't really. Yeah, I met her the night of the 2005 championship. Like we met that night.
Mm-hmm. Ricky's.
No, Jesus Christ.
The after party.
No.
No.
No. God, no.
705 Shea Street.
You know, it's funny. She did meet me at Ricky's one time. Come to think about it, she did go to me, which is crazy. You think about that.
I can't imagine her.
Kara Lawson live, 705 J Street, downtown Sacramento.
That is hilarious.
Didn't go in. But hung out outside with me while I did the broadcast. We used to broadcast from out there.
Wow.
I think the party was at 10L21, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always been relief. The gold medal was definitely elation. There was, you know, because she was outstanding in the gold medal game. And I think there was a feeling once they survived that game against Russia, which was, well, it was one of the crazier sports environments I had been at till two nights later when the USA played Spain. So yeah, it's definitely now as a coach, it's relief because she doesn't have control, and I think that kills her. She can control. She can't tell someone how to be competitive. She can't tell someone how to get fired up. She can try to put players in the right position and allow them to do the rest. So everything she's accomplished so far as the Duke women's basketball coach has definitely been a sigh of relief rather than
And the coaching aspect of it is different. Like you can be really excited, but like you said, you don't have control. It's all this preparation and things that you want these young people to accomplish and execute. And you're just hoping that what you're doing is enough and they approach it the same way you would.
Right.
And when it actually happens and it's successful, it's just,
Cool. And I'm sure there's a moment where she enjoyed it. I'm sure, especially when she got back to the locker room with her girls, she enjoyed it.
Well, it was cool to see them pick her up.
Yeah.
She seemed to enjoy that moment. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Because there was a part of me, I don't know her as well as you do, but a part of me that
I would hope
felt
not.
Like, part of me that felt like when they tried to pick her up, she'd be like, put me down.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah, that is, I don't think that's really her bag.
So that she let them do that, I was like, "Oh, she's having fun with it. That's cool."
Yeah, that was big for her team needed that. Like that to that feeling to take into the tournament cuz they had been a little all over the place. There had been a moment where it's like, "Man, I think they're really good." And then there's the moment where
I'm sorry, not ready. But you had said in October, like, this is her best team.
Yeah.
Like, this is her opportunity to achieve a lot of the stuff that they set out to do a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And they cashed in, at least on one of them.
Yep. So, yeah. So far, so good. Tournament will be next, and the big tournament will be next, and we'll see what happens. But shout out to Kara and Duke.
Shout out Kara and Duke. Obviously, because I watched them all, so I'm just saying, shout out to my girls in South Carolina. Handle business against Texas.
Which one were you happier about?
Well, why are you asking that question?
No, answer that question real quick. Yeah, go ahead and answer that.
I was happier for Duke.
No, just lie. Just lie to everybody. Wow, just lie.
Happier for Duke.
Yeah. Didn't even say it convincingly either.
I was happier for Duke. But I saw that. And then I was shocked to see UCLA get USC. Not because they can't do it, but it felt like SC had their number. But it seemed like all they really did was piss UCLA off with how they behaved in Pauly last time. Yeah. And they were ready for him.
Yeah.
They were ready to hoop. The only thing about that is that happened in Indianapolis. I mean, this is tragic.
Yeah.
This is tragic having those two teams in the Big Ten. And, yeah, that was ridiculous. But great championship Sunday.
It was. It honestly didn't matter to me. Give me that one, and whatever else happened. But, yeah, that one was awesome.
Real quick, with the Big Ten, like, you're with California now. Go ahead and move that title game over here.
Yeah, put it somewhere.
Like, we don't need to play in Indiana no more. Like, go ahead and come to L.A.
That is awful. That is awful. That game was supposed to be in Vegas or in L.A.
You're big time now. Act like it.
But they're gonna look at you, Jesse, like, we don't need to. You came to us. You came where
for
we're
sure.
At.
Yeah.
We just won your conference, pal.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Also
keep making us money.
Go to California, it'll be better.
Right. You think they'll ever move the football game? The Big Ten Championship football game?
To where?
California.
To SoFi?
California. Yeah, SoFi is
SoFi would be the one, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like SoFi would be the one. I mean, no,
I don't think so.
No.
And then, like, if Chicago ever
maybe
does that,
once Like, no, guys, it's just once. We're just going to do it once. Don't get angry. But I don't even know if that happens.
Yeah. If Chicago ever gets that stadium, they'll live there.
Oh, yeah.
They'll they'll never leave
Absolutely.
Chicago. They might play all conference games in Chicago.
Mm.
So, yeah, UCLA and USC need to get out of there at some point.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate all this realignment stuff. Not to mention every once in a while I turn on a tournament and get confused. Oh, that's right. There's a second of... That's right.
Well, Oregon State right now in the West Coast Conference tournament.
Shout out to Oregon State. And shout out to Kings fans who showed up on Friday night with the Sacramento Kings. Got a win. Got a win going away against the San Antonio Spurs. De'Aaron Fox was booed regularly throughout the game and was cheered very loudly when the tribute video ran.
So, unless I missed something, you didn't get to the game.
I did not.
Could you? So, well, I got there late-ish, like right after the introductions. So, I didn't hear the introduction. So, I walk in and I asked, you know, the lady who gives out the parking tickets. I said, did they boo him? And she goes, yeah. And I said, really? She said, yeah, they got a...
They didn't show that on TV.
They didn't.
No. Which I thought was a catastrophic fail by NBC Sports California. Like, absolutely catastrophic. And the first time I realized, so I think I saw it through Sean's video.
Okay.
And then he got the ball. I was like, we're doing that. It's like, okay. It was cute. It'll subside. Nah, they did it again. And it was like, okay, I was not expecting that.
I wasn't either.
At all. And then they did the tribute video, which they aired they did air the tail end of it on NBC Sports California. Not the video, but more the reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I saw multiple videos of that. That sounded like an ovation.
It was. It was.
And...
That was great.
And that's a timeout. He's out of the game. There's no competitive activity going on. It felt like that was a good, hearty, hey, thanks, homie. We appreciate you. Mm-hmm. And then he checked back in and he got booed.
Then they went back to,
they went back to booing
him.
Which I did not expect that at all.
I did not expect that at all. I didn't as well, man. I was surprised to hear that, to see that. And it went... For the entire game. The Kings got by 20.
It really did.
And they booed him every time he touched the ball. If Keon got a steal or a block, the ovation for that or the applause for that was loud.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan do the same. It was loud on De'Aaron Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect that.
A 6-for-17 night from De'Aaron, 0-for-6 from 3, 16 points. And again, none of that really matters. Like the Kings won, they won going away. Zach LaVine, again, brilliant in that game. Keegan was terrific in that game. I know that game meant something to Keegan Murray as well. And now I feel like we can just put it behind us.
Yeah, and
kind of done.
Even with all that said about like what happened on Friday night with the crowd and everything, I do think that's a little bit of a one off. You know what I mean?
I think so too.
I don't think
every time
he comes to town they're gonna boo.
Mm-mm.
Every time he touches the basketball. I don't think that's gonna happen. They just got it out their system. You know what I mean? Whoever felt that way, they got it out their system. I think that's the case. The only way It is a little volatile, whereas like as is, I think everything is fine. Like I think they won't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
If he says one little thing,
yeah.
It's super volatile. If he says they're ready to go right back to it, and I think that is going to be the case for the rest of his career. I don't think that's going to go away. Is you play cool, we'll play cool. Say one thing. And you come back here and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and I'm not saying that's how I feel. I think I'm reading how people feel about the situation.
Yeah, I think so
that's
too.
How they. You be cool, we'll be cool, but say something crazy, and we'll go back to it.
Leezy did a great job talking to people out there, getting videos of that night. They're all over there on the ESPN 1320 and Dylan and Casey Instagram page if you want to go check that stuff out. Great work by our man, Leezy. Do you have an opinion on the video that was circulating the internet after the game?
Yeah, I don't want to speak definitively because I don't know. But it didn't look like it was anything going on.
That's exactly how I felt.
Like it did not look like. The only thing that had me thinking that there was something could have been going on is if you look at the video.
That was Jazz talking to me at the concert. It was nothing. Like, it was all love. It was fine.
I thought so too. The only thing that gives me just a little bit of pause, just a little bit, and I still don't think that's like it was anything, but I forgot who it was. Maybe I'll pull it up on so I can, but on, there was a point where she's saying something or Malik is saying something and the guy that was next to them starts to move and one of them goes, no, chill. Mm-hmm. Like, or he tries to pull like, hey, all right, it's cool, whatever. But he's like pulling her like chill or something like that. And I was like, all right, that's a little odd. But other than that, I didn't think it was anything. Now, this doesn't mean anything. But me and Bonte were right there on the baseline as they were having that interaction.
Sorry. Legends. I swear to God, if y'all were down there and you could pull this video.
Oh, I thought you said they got it.
If y'all could pull this video somehow. Legends, go do that work. Go do that work. Get us the video.
They
send a video.
So we were there. We were like on the baseline. We was right there with them, and I noticed that they were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't. There was nothing going on. It was nothing. Like I couldn't hear what they were saying because I wasn't close enough. But it didn't look contentious at all. It didn't look like there was anything going on. They were just talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's from the video and from being there. That's what it seemed like to me. And yeah, I was kind of perplexed when people got the video and were like definitively running with, oh, it was had words.
Yeah, it didn't look like that at all.
I didn't think so.
I thought they were both smiling. She was just really animated.
Mm-hmm. And she's an animated talker. Like I've seen her talk to other people. Yeah. She's just not even animated like in a mean way. Like when she's happy, it's a lot of hand movements and gestures, and that's how she.
I think what threw people off was the point.
At the end?
Well, when you start doing that, that's like, okay, put your hand down. Like when you're in that close, I'm with you. I don't think it was anything, but I think what really got people questioning it, because I'm looking at Malik, like Malik's not even reacting. Mm-hmm. But like when you start like the point and I was like, oh.
So, but
all right.
But it's like if we're having a conversation and we're talking about something and I say, for example, we're talking, we're that close. And I go like this and I look at you and I say, and I told you that when PDAs came through, what was going to happen? I told you what, like that, I'm pointing at you the same way. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what we're talking about. But nobody knows that. They just see I'm pointing at you
and
I'm stirring about it. So they feel some type of way about what they're seeing. So like I said, from the video and from being 10 feet away, there was nothing going on. I, at least if there was, I didn't pick up on none of it.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah. I didn't think it was anything. Let's get TC in here.
Hey.
916-909-1320. TC, what's happening, baby?
Hey, what's up with my two brothers?
What's up, TC?
What's up with it, boy? I've been on here for about an hour. I said to homies, man. I said, man, that's why I love the homies, boy. I'ma hold on.
Yeah, I just forgot. Sorry, man. My bad.
Hey, y'all, my boys, man. You know what I mean?
We appreciate you, big dog.
Off top, yeah. So, hey, I don't know what to take about that Rasay, but hey, you know what? I'm not gonna get too much in that to D-Love and Kenny. I got Niners and Kings. Already told Jesse. So I think as far as the Kings, that frustrated me last night, being up 7 like that. We could have won. It goes back to this Kenny, when I was talking about Debo, nothing against the Hall of Famer or nothing, bro, but bro be taking bad shots at the wrong time. I'm not taking nothing when he goes nuclear, goes for 17, 18 and a quarter. That's not take that. That has nothing to do with when he his shot selection sometimes, bro, be at the bad time, bro. He was taking bad shots last night. Not taking everybody that loss falls on everybody, but it falls on him more, bro. Because dude be taking a lot of bad shots. Period.
Well, TC, like I said, there's a lot of people who feel
he took one bad one.
He took one bad shot. And I see my man Pino, he's in the chat. He was tweeting me last night. He was frustrated with DeMar's shot selection late in the game. And like I said, he took one bad that pull up three when they were up 97-95, I think with about 20 some odd seconds to go. I didn't want a three there. I was get to the bucket or get to your mid-range. I don't want you with a pull-up three in that situation. So I thought that was a bad shot. But like I said, go. I advise everybody to – I don't do nothing that nobody else can do. Go pull up. Go to NBA.com. Go to the box score. Go look at those shots. Look at the time and the situation. When they got up seven, he took three shots. One of them was like a mid-range shot that was just the DeMar special. Like it was whatever, came off pick and roll, and he shot the shot. Before that, he had hit three of his previous four shots. So, yeah, he's, all right, I'm going to take the shot. That's not a crazy shot. He was just made three of four. So he took that one. The next one was the one he got fouled on. And the one after that was the one that we say we don't like. So I didn't. Everybody thought it was – not everybody. A lot of people thought it was terrible shot selection and DeMar shooting them out of the game again and all this other stuff. I knew that was going to come up at some point. I disagree with it. He also was 3 of 3 from the field and 4 of 4 from the line in overtime. He scored 10 of their 13 points, I think, in overtime. So nobody talks about that, though. They say the loss is on him for the – what I perceive the one bad shot that he took.
Is the issue less about DeMar taking a bad shot and all at the end rather than the team really needing a point guard? Because at that point, like, I guess you put the ball in Zach LaVine's hands, but it's going to be him or DeMar, and they're not facilitators like that where it's like, all right, we're going to run the offense and get a good shot, everyone. Like, they're go-get-bucket type guys.
They are, but this is the thing that I say, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe my memory's off or whatever. But just look around. Like, ain't no offense. What offense was ran on the final play of the game? That is not how the NBA is played. It's just not. Once you get to about 4 minutes left, ain't nobody running the flex offense. You're getting it to your guys. You get them where they want it, and they become decision makers. Even the point guard is just gonna say, and this it's helpful. It's helpful, but he's just gonna say, hey, DeMar, I'm bringing up, get over there on the left block. And then when I get the ball to you, I'm going to clear out and go to work.
I don't mean it to bring it back to Boston. Remember we used to talk, like, used to say that about, like, Boston, like, it was, you got Tatum and Brown, but sometimes you need to get back to that point guard to kind of just, how do you say, calm things down, I guess.
No, you would, but the problem there was Marcus was the one taking the shots. And you needed a point guard to say, I'm not going to take the shot, I'm going to get it to Tatum or Brown.
Yeah, because I wonder, like, if, I don't buy into the DeMar thing right now, I think he's fine, but if maybe you have a point guard there, calm it down. Whether you get Keegan a better shot here or something like that.
They definitely need a point guard. Whether it's Monk or a more traditional point guard, they need that in that lineup. And they're missing that with Monk out at the very least. So
we'll come back. Leezy. We got Leezy. Mitch. We talked to TC already. Leezy, Mitch, hang on. I want to hear from both of you. And we got to talk some NFL stuff, too, before we get back to the Kings, because the Kings, they're back at it. We got a game tonight. We'll get you caught up on everything else that happened around the association. Kind of some big moments in the association this weekend, too, that should be discussed. It's Steelin' with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, let's get to these lines. You said start with Leezy, 916-909-1320. Leezus, what's happening, baby?
Yo, D-Lung KC, what's good, guys?
What up, my guy? How you doing, big dog?
Hey, man, I'm doing good, man. It was a busy weekend, man. We had our ear to the street out there interviewing people for Fox's return game. Hey, man, I'll say it was probably about, 70-30 when he came on screen. People cheered. There was boos. But afterwards, when the game started, it was 80% booze, man. They was on his head.
They were on.
Anyways, the reason I called was because, you know, I've become like a Kings apologist. I really like this team. You know, last night was a hard loss, but tell me if I'm wrong. Doesn't it seem like the team is playing with more heart? Like, this isn't like before when we were having those games with the Pacers or the Pistons, or people were begging Fox to, like, get mad and play hard. Like, I feel like every night this team is playing hard. And even though we're not always getting the results we want, I like the direction. Like, the guys seem really motivated under Doug. I like Zach LaVine's three-point shooting. LaRavia's doing his thing. I feel like the Kings are closer to being successful than failing. I feel like they just need maybe a playmaker, kind of like what Lonzo was when DeRozan and LaVine were on the Bulls, and just maybe a defender, and I feel like the Kings are a lot closer than people think.
Okay. Okay. Appreciate you, Leezy.
I understand exactly what Leezy's saying. I think one of the things that...
Come get on the bandwagon, Leezy. You still a free agent? Like, what are we doing?
Would Kings fans accept Leezy onto the team?
Did he say that?
He throws a lot of we's when he talks about the Kings. Yeah.
Did he say we this time? Because I heard him on the Insiders earlier, and he was we get that, we get this. I'm like, all right, what you talking about? We are you with us? What's up?
That's true. You can't be throwing we, yeah. You can't be throwing on the we's unless you're with a team.
So, you know, I'm just trying to figure out what's going on. Leezy, a.k.a. Weezy, brings up a couple of good points, and it makes me think about why aren't people encouraged for this team moving forward? And I think it's because do they not see a high ceiling with like a DeRozan LaVine combo with Monk and Sabonis? Like, it's just like, oh, that's cool. Like, if you have more time and you could put a roster together, maybe you'll be a six seed. Like, is the expectations really low for that group, even though people are encouraged by what they see?
I think people are unsure of what they're seeing.
That's where I'm at with this.
The sample size is getting low. So it's the seasons within the seasons within the seasons. The Doug Christie sample size is now bigger than the Mike Brown sample size. That's official now. Doug Christie has coached more games than Mike Brown has this season. But then now we have like the Zach LaVine portion of this. And now it's feeling like, is there like a post-Warriors meeting like part that's like taking place here? Because they look like a completely different basketball team since that, even in the loss to Denver, even in the loss to Los Angeles. It was 97-90 with a minute 48 left.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that that's Clippers basketball. You're feeling great about that if you're Sacramento. You know, it bit you in the ass 6 minutes later. Kawhi was struggling. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a – you had gotten – I mean, LaVine was at the rim. Shots wasn't falling. Going to get to the rim. I'm going to get buckets either way. DeMar, shots not falling? F it. I'm going to get to the foul line. I'm going to find a way to score. And Keegan Murray is suddenly this picture of consistency. So – it's like, I don't think we are exactly sure what we're watching right now. I think there's, you know, talk about him all the time. Our guy Io, he's a huge basketball fan, Cleveland Cavaliers guy, likes the Kings. It's like, he texted last night, like, I know they lost, man, but I really love the way that they're playing right now. And I think the way that they're playing is becoming very visually obvious that it's not a one-off. Like, they're playing differently. I don't know what that means for, what people think their ceiling is or their potential growth next season or the season after. I think everyone's kind of leery because of the LaVine-DeRozan pairing in Chicago and thinking, oh, it's just the same here, when it's very obviously different because you've got Domas and Malik and Keegan and, you know, hopefully Doug moving forward and so on. So,
and real quick to that point, I think LaVine is a different person and player from his time with DeRozan in Chicago. You know, we talk about how he approached this season, like the famous media day, the quotes that he had, where he's like, man, I was out. I had a lot of time to reflect on the type of player I want to be, the type of person I want to be. And he talked that talk, and he's walked it this season where he's had the best season of his career. So it's a little unfair, I think, for people to just label DeRozan and LaVine pairing as it's going to be just like we saw in Chicago. Might not. It might not.
Do you guys buy what we're seeing right now? This team under Doug Christie.
Yeah,
I do.
But ask what that means.
Well, yeah, like how far is this going to take him? Well, because the thing, because
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what it means.
Because I feel like, because before I think I was like, all right, we're headed towards a rebuild no matter what. And I still think we are, just because DeMar is like non-guaranteed in that third year and all that. But I do think if maybe you did add a point guard and all that, like Doug could get some out of this team, or maybe you do get out of the first round. I don't think they're headed towards a title anytime soon or anything like that. But it's, I don't know, it looks a lot better than it did a month ago. Like there's something, I think, where you can win some games, or it's not just hopeless, I don't think.
Yeah.
Where you're just stuck in the play-in. But again, it's, I don't even know what to trust, I guess, at this point. Because it's like, how much credit do we give to the front office that dug a hole for themselves and dug themselves out of it?
That's a good question as well. The other aspect to yesterday's game that is a little frustrating and that was eye-opening, as you talked about 97-90 with a minute 48 to go, as Clipper basketball. They're about to win Clipper basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and we always looked at it saying, well, if they're going to win, they're going to have to score 125 and outscore people or whatever, and they've shown in a number of different ways that they can play a couple of different ways of basketball. At least that's the way they've been able to do it lately. And what if that's real? What if they're not just a team that can that has to outscore you, and they can play a number of different ways? I do buy this team being a good team and being a team that I'll say, if we put a ceiling or a cap on it, if you took this same team into next year, I think they got a second round ceiling. I think they can win a round in the playoffs.
The same team.
Yeah, you give them a year, you give them a training camp, you give
Tell
them
me why.
Cohesiveness. Because I think they've got a lot of, and this is, seeing this is without Domantas Sabonis as well, mm-hmm. but you've got high level talent in LaVine, DeRozan, JV on the bench, Sabonis obviously as well, Malik Monk. You have a roster that allows you to play a couple of different ways. Like you can get, you know, physical and get defensive with some of these guys, or maybe you weren't able to do that before. You're a little bit more finesse, or you're a little too small to do that. But with Laravia, with Keon, like I said, JV will be coming off the bench in that situation. If Devin Carter shows that he can give you 12 minutes a night coming off the bench, I think you're a little bit more equipped to play a number of different ways. And, you know, talk about, I know the upside and the potential and all this other stuff, but you talk about teams like Memphis and Houston, like you went up against them like with a whole year. If you went up against them in the playoffs, you could play with them. Minnesota, you could play with them. You could beat them in a series. You know, you could beat the Clippers in a series. So I think that's when we say ceiling, obviously we're talking about best case scenario. You know what I mean? Like everything's clicking, you can get to the second round. Maybe everything doesn't click and you don't make it out of the play-in with this team for a whole year. But I think with if everything and everybody's playing well, they can win a round in the playoffs with this particular group.
Okay. Let's talk to Mitch. Mitch been waiting patiently. What's happening, Mitch?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Thanks good, for the show.
D'Lo and Casey, I'm glad you guys had front row seats. Reminds you of that Who's Rosen broadcast. He had a TV show. I can't remember his name. Play a little baseball catcher. Just a bit outside. You know what the name?
Oh, Bob Uecker?
Bob Uecker.
Yeah.
There you guys. There you go, Bob Uecker. I don't know what's going on with this chat room here. I can't see all the comments. You know, it's always time to roast Mitch, but it's good. It's all in good fun.
Well, they love you, Mitch.
No, they do
now,
love
I can't
you,
read.
Mitch.
Something's going on with my phone. I can't take this phone sometimes. Just like I can't take Twitter. You never know who's watching and reading it. You know, and from Sacramento to D.C. I'll stop right there. I don't want to get into that. Okay. Kings, we're shooting guards. We're going to take on anybody. Shooting guards against anybody. You got to like the team. You got to like the effort. Thank God we traded for Jake and Jonas, because then we'd be in the control. With the football, I cannot believe my Raiders chose Geno Smith. You like Jet quarterbacks? Sam Darnold would have been better. Even Aaron Rodgers. Zach Wilson is the third string. But Geno Smith, come on.
Okay.
All right, Mitch. Well, you know.
Thank you.
Hey, Mitch had some pep in his step in that call. Shout out Mitch. Well, that was energy right there.
I think Mitch might have finally gotten hip to what everybody else knew when he talked about Twitter.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, you never know who's watching and what you can see.
No, literally, well, Mitch, everyone can see.
We tried to tell you.
Mitch, we've been warning you about this for years.
Mitch, just stick to the Seinfeld and dog content on Twitter, brother. That's your bag.
Stop asking women how they got so pretty on Twitter. Just stop it. Oh, but it's all right. Mitch is just wondering, how did it happen?
He's curious.
I don't know.
Mitch be yelling at the baddies.
That's amazing. Mitch is amazing.
He is, man.
I don't know what he was talking about with Bob Uecker, but
yeah, he said we have front row seats.
I think you guys are modern day Bob Uecker's.
No, Bob Uecker has the cheap seats.
Oh,
yeah.
Did not know that.
He was talking about, and maybe he said we weren't Bob Uecker.
Oh, okay.
Even though we weren't in the front row or anything.
No, we were just sitting, vibing, watching the concert.
Yeah.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.